here we go. Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors is now in session. Chaplain Bradley, when you have me do the invocation, please.
Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful for the opportunity to be part of the service and our community and the responsibility of leadership. We're grateful for those who lead out in our Board of Supervisors. We know that there are many difficult decisions sometimes that need to be made. But Father, I always pray for open discussion, dialogue, and that we might be part of something that is good for our county, that will improve the lives of people. That's what we're interested in. Thank you for everyone who serves in all of our agencies. And God, we just ask you to continue to bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, real quick though. The board will be convening today as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District and receives no additional compensation. We'll do a roll call. Supervisor Valenzuela?
I'm here.
Supervisor Hill?
Present.
Supervisor Harris?
Present.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Here.
And Supervisor Ogren?
Here.
Thank you.
We've got an urgency item we need to address before we move on.
Yes, Natalie Reed, County Council. So this title of this item is Conference with Legal Counsel, Existing Litigation Pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.91, Name of Case, National Prescription Opioid Litigation, United States District Court for the Northern District of Ohio, Case Number 1-17-MD-2804. I'm requesting that this be added to the agenda as an urgency item. The rationale is that after the posting of the agenda for the Board of Supervisors meeting of March 18, 2025, the County Council's office was advised by outside counsel of developments in the above litigation, which require timely board direction or authorization. There are no further board meetings this month, and the board's next regular meeting is not until April 1st. Therefore, council requests that the board determine by a two-thirds vote of the members present today that this is an urgency item pursuant to Government Code Section 54954.2B2, and it be added to the closed session agenda.
I would move to approve.
Second. Is this part of the test of your pre-thing, throwback stuff?
Implementing. Seeing it in practice.
So I have Kopsev and Valenzuela, correct? Alrighty, Supervisor Valenzuela?
I'm here.
Yes?
Yes.
Thank you. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye. Okay. Moving on to presentations from the public. This time slot is for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You will be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. Written comments can be presented if so desired by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair. Comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of the board. Before we move on, I just want to make a comment that the little loopy noise that you hear is people signing on through Zoom. So that's what you're hearing. It's not anybody alien there. So I have one public comment from David Ring. You want to come up to the podium, please? And if it is for J.H. Ranch, we can take those later. If it's not for J.H. Ranch, then you can speak now.
Thank you.
And you've got the timer.
I am David Allen Ream of Mount Shasta, California. I have lived here for 32 years. I was a partner in the Dream Inn Bed and Breakfast for 28 years and now retired for 4. I read on your agenda that my comments should only pertain to matters within Siskiyou County borders. I will assume that includes Mount Shasta. I kindly request everyone in this room to watch on YouTube City Council of Mount Shasta meeting of 3:10:25 to start at 1 hour, 5 minutes, and 45 seconds will quickly get you to the pertinent matter. There you can observe the mayor three times state F-U. I refuse to correctly quote him, for he stated the real words, and out of respect to all here, I will simply use those letters. In this instance, the pronoun you is the county of Siskiyou. He also has a proclivity to talk with his middle finger, this time directed towards the county of Siskiyou. You will also hear him insult ranchers. You will also hear the city manager insult Wairika, threaten the county with filing an injunction and withholding fees to the county. Unfortunately, I live in a city where it has become rule by fear, intimidation, harassment, and suppression of First Amendment rights. Any sense of decorum and protocol is completely absent. I hope you are alarmed at this behavior, as I am, but it gets worse. The mayor further states that the towns of McLeod, Dunsmuir, Mount Shasta, and Weed should secede from the county of Siskiyou and create the county of Jefferson. As outlandish as all that sound, please trust me, he is as serious as a heart attack. I've gotten to know him in the last 10 years. Lastly, I encourage everyone in this room to visit the sheriff's office. Upon entering, please look to your right, and among all of our sheriffs, you will see a distant relative of mine, Daniel Reen. He served the county during the first 2 years of our nation's Civil War, a war that was fought over the succession of 11 southern states. Please be warned that there exist in our county, truly, persons that desire a secession from Siskiyou County to create the County of Jefferson. Thank you.
Okay, no other public comment. We'll move on to item 4, consent agenda.
Madam Chair, I do have a couple of comment letters that came in, I believe I forwarded to the board, with regard to the AB letter, County Administrator's AB letter. I believe it's, which one is it?
4D.
4D, to be pulled because people are expressing opposition to the letter.
And I would ask that you pull that just for some discussion.
Okay, we'll pull item D.
Thank you.
Any other items to be pulled before we vote?
Move to approve the balance of the agenda item minus 4D.
Thank you.
Second.
Call for vote.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Still here voting yes.
Thank you. Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
And Supervisor Oken?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay.
Sure. I know where our scarcity is with this. I know CSAC has not raised any issues. Previously, this came out, there was another iteration of this, whatever we want to call it, if you will. RCRC did support it last time. Dolly supported this. I would ask that we hold off on sending any kind of letter because this is still in committee. This is probably going to be changed. Who knows whether a lot or significantly. So I would just ask that we just table this for the time being.
It's my understanding this is to ratify what we've already sent. Is that correct?
Correct, through the chair, Angela Davis County Administration. This item on the agenda is to ratify the letter that has been signed by the chair and has been sent to all of the CCs within that letter. So the letter has already been sent.
Okay, I was unaware of that, so. Well, because that wasn't the last meeting, huh?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
Move to approve.
Sorry.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
No.
Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
And Supervisor Oken?
Aye.
Okay. And consent passes. Moving on, we're going to recess as the Board of Supervisors and convene as the Flood Control and move on there for a second. Flood Control and Water Conservation District and ask for public comment in the room. Any online?
Not online.
And item B, consent agenda.
Second.
Call for vote.
All righty. Director Valenzuela?
Sure.
Director Haupt?
Aye.
Director Harris?
Aye.
Director Okren?
Aye.
And Director, Cobbseth?
Aye.
I missed you.
Item C, Flood Control and Water Conservation District, discussion, direction, possible action on the consent to assignment of leases interest in lease for the Lake Siskiyou concessionaire agreement for Morales Resort.
Morning, Directors. Joy Hall, Director of General Services. I'm here today to present a consent of assignment for Lake Siskiyou Campground. The current concessionaire is Reynolds Resorts LLC. Has requested to reassign their lease to FLT Lake Siskiyou for the remainder of their term. All terms and conditions of the original agreement will remain in place, including the expiration of September of 2028, and the franchise fee will remain the same.
And the packet is?
The packet that I gave you is the FLT and their kind of their overview of who they are, and then at the very end of it is a org chart for them. I also, on the line, if you have any questions for them, Mr. Carbone is on there. He is a subsidiary of, it goes Redtail, Highway West, and then FLT. So it's with them.
If I could jump into Nellaree County Council, just to give the board a little background, I wanted to let you know that BBK was retained to assist the district with review of the materials from the proposed assignee about their business and corporate structure and their ability of fulfilling the obligations of the lease/concession. BBK reviewed the proposed assignment between the leasee and assignee, prepared the consent to assignment document, and the confirmation of existing lease terms. The district is also in receipt of a letter from J.P. Morgan noting that Float Siskiyou has been properly capitalized.
So before you is a consent to the lease to reassign it from us, and then also in there is a the notice of lease terms, so that we solidify that this is what the terms are and what the franchise fees are and what the approved campground rates are.
So I'll just ask a quick question. They're assuming the lease, and they know that we are going to go out for request for proposals, and they're comfortable with that.
Correct.
Okay.
They know that it's the RFP will be for 2028.
Right.
Remind me of the termination of the lease, the date of the termination of the lease.
I'm sorry, I said again.
The current lease, when does that run out?
September of 2028.
But I thought, through the chair, I thought that we were going out for RFP sooner than that.
We will go out for RFP, but it will start as of, since it ends September 30th of 2028, it'll be October 1st of 2028 is when it will start.
For the RFP?
No. We'll go out for RFP beforehand, but the start of the...
What's the date of the RFP?
We have not started that yet because it's we're 2 years out, so our plans are in the next 6 months that we're going to get that together for you guys to review.
Okay. I mean, sooner than later.
Yes.
So that's not a 30-day deal.
No, it is not.
And I know you understand that.
We want to make sure that whoever is chosen has enough time to get in and start doing the things that need to be done in the campground. Or is mobilized, I guess, was the right word?
So this new leasee, it sounds as though that they have met the financial requirement or I'll call it background check.
Correct.
To being able to assume this, and council is good with it.
And that's more the discretion of the executive director, but I'm comfortable with the work that he became.
Yes, I am as well.
Okay, with that, I'll move to approve unless there's further discussion.
Second.
Thank you.
Nothing further? Okay. Director Valenzuela?
Yes.
Director Haupt?
Aye.
Director Harris?
Aye.
Director Kopsev?
Aye.
And Director Obrin?
Aye.
I've received no corrections for those.
Move to approve.
Second.
All righty. Director Valenzuela?
I'm going to abstain because I'll leave there.
Thank you. Director Haupt?
Aye.
Director Harris?
Aye.
Director Kopsev?
Aye.
And Director Obrin?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, we will adjourn as flood control of Water Conservation District and reconvene as this is view of the County Board of Supervisors and move back to item D, sorry, 5, departmental requests. Item A, facilities. Discussion, direction, possible action regarding resolution declaring an emergency and pursuant to Public Contract Code Section 22050.
Good morning. Amanda Kimball, Director of Facilities Management. Here today, I'm asking for approval for the emergency resolution to move forward with the repairs on the Government Center parking lot and also the front steps. If you have any questions.
Move to approve. Second.
Just a quick comment. I just noticed the front steps are really deteriorating in the front of that. I was so glad to see that's happening.
Yes.
All righty. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
And Supervisor Obrin?
I have one quick question.
Yes, ma'am.
The parking lot is behind?
Yes.
And does it include the walkway going
yes.
to the...
Oh. Yep. And also, city wanted us to repair the driveways on both sides. So we'll be updating those as well.
That'll be on. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks. And your vote, Madam Chair?
Aye.
Thank you.
Item B, Health and Human Services, Behavioral Health Division. Discussion, direction, action as deemed appropriate regarding Mental Health Student Services Act Round 4, Category 2, Universal Screening Grant, proposal and agreement ratified and approved by the board on February 18th. Good morning.
Good morning, Chair Obrin, members of the board, Sarah Collard, Health and Human Services.
And Mike Matheson, Associate Superintendent of District Support with the Siskiyou County Office of Education.
I guess I'm going to kick it off, it sounds like. So the reason this is coming back, I guess, is that I had brought up the actual subsidy of, this is somewhat around $800,000 contract.
Correct.
For student surveys done by teachers, which I clarified on the last meeting that I thought was student-driven, but the teachers surveyed the students. But the main question was, we contract with the school districts, some. I know this is for all schools in the county.
Correct.
But the question is that why does behavioral health county dollars go into the school system when the schools receive 68% of the property tax revenue in the county. Counties only at 22%. Schools have an additional, I'll call it building tax as well per square foot. So why do we subsidize from this end for this service?
So I can speak to it from the behavioral health perspective, and hopefully Mike can speak to it from the school's perspective. My understanding and my experience in the schools is that they are funded, but not adequately funded for mental health services in the schools. This particular funding provides a bridge. The schools in the future will be able to bill directly for services they provide, mental health services they provide, but currently don't have adequate resources to provide those services. So this is money that came from the MHSA. It is this particular grant for universal screening, the goal of which is to identify kids early and, you know, provide them with sort of lower level services so that they don't then end up in our system. But the schools don't have a way to access this funding except through the behavioral health department. And I think one of the overarching goals of this funding is to provide districts and behavioral health departments an opportunity to build a relationship, because we, you know, services exist along a continuum. So the schools are providing sort of early intervention and prevention services, and our department, you know, provides support and services to kids and families who are higher needs. So that is from the behavioral health perspective, and I don't know if you can speak to what funding the schools receive and whether that any of that goes to behavioral health outside of, you know, the support we provide.
Those, Sarah really hit the point that this grant particularly requires us to partner with behavioral health to receive the funding to provide those, we call them tier one services. So these are services to really in the preventative side, so that our students have the opportunity to gain the skill sets so that they don't end up then needing the higher level care that then behavioral health provides. So it's intended for, and the grants are intended for us to partner and for behavioral health to partner with schools so that we can provide at the ground level these types of interventions that are in the preventative world. So we don't have any other way to access this kind of money unless we partner. And it's been a great partnership. We've been doing this through multiple years now, multiple grants. We're learning a lot about how we operate. We are overlapping services so that we can do a lot of prevention. So this really gives us that opportunity to do prevention. Schools do not have specific funding for these types of services. They come out of our general fund. They are incredibly necessary. So to have a partnership with the county to be able to provide these types of services is essential. And they wouldn't be happening without the partnership. So the partnership and the ability to access the funds through that partnership is essential.
So the behavioral health services also contracts with the school districts for actual staffing of mental health services within the schools, and I think we approved a contract a while back for, I think, $300,000 over a couple of years, or a year, I'm not sure, but so how does that fit into this category? Is if we're contracting with the schools to provide services, but then this is another service that I guess isn't covered by the contracting of that other, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, and then lastly, is these grant dollars, would they have been used elsewhere besides the school district, or could have been, or are they specifically targeted to, as you indicated, partnering with the schools?
They're specifically targeted for partnering with the schools, so they would have been used elsewhere outside of the county, but there's no other way in which the behavioral health could utilize those funds.
And the only other thing that I would add, and I added it when we first approved this, was that I still believe, even though that these surveys are teacher monitored, it's not the student itself, that parents are given notice of that, one, and two, that the information, I would hope, would be something in the public realm, I guess. I know you can't bring out individual students in that, but the surveys can give a broad picture of what is going on with those surveys that are beneficial to the Family Resource Centers, to First Five Commission, you know, commissions of that nature, so that we're working together on that front.
The data is proprietary. I don't know if you saw in the contract, so I'm not sure in what ways, but we're certainly willing to do that. I just don't know the particulars of the constraints, but we can certainly bring that back to First Five. And
we've heard a lot about transparency this morning, so I just pointed it out.
And I'm a strong supporter of that. So to the extent that we can, we will.
Thank you for the clarification.
Of course.
And we do, the program offers sample letters specifically to parents that give examples of the questions that are asked, and there is an opt-out option. So from the Siskiyou County Office of Ed perspective, we encourage schools to use those so that the parents are seeing what's being done.
Thank you.
Anything
I think
else?
We're done.
Okay,
I
great.
Think I
brought
it up unless
somebody...
Okay. Any other discussion on that? Questions? No. Thank you.
And there's no additional action being taken on this one, correct?
No.
Thank you.
No. Moving on to 5C, Sheriff. Discussion, direction, possible action regarding a request to extend the state of emergency related to the proliferation of illegal cannabis cultivation.
Good morning, Chairwoman Ogren and members of the board. The sheriff supports extending the resolution.
Sir, we need your name for the record.
All right, apologize.
Thank you.
Under Sheriff James Randall.
Thank you.
The sheriff supports extending this and has no changes at this time.
Wishes of the board.
I'll second that.
That was an extend?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you. Okay, Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes, just a quick comment. You know, we've been declaring emergency for so long. I just like crying wolf at this point. I think we need a change in verbiage. I don't know. I do support because we do have an issue. I just wish we had a better, and maybe come back with what the latest plan is to address it. Because what we're doing isn't working, right?
I wouldn't say it's necessarily not working. There are certain things that are. There are certain things that are not. We, as a sheriff's department, are constantly analyzing what does work, what doesn't, and then there's a lot of things that come into play, such as ongoing litigations, as well as what's legally allowed by us to be able to do to be able to combat this. We do have some new strategies, but I'm not willing to discuss them at this time, but I'd be more than happy
to. Just glad to hear that, that we're not just declaring something and not changing.
No, it's a constant analysis.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah.
That helps.
So, Supervisor Valenzuela, that was a yes?
Oh, long time ago was a yes.
Thank you. Supervisor Howe?
Yes, and thank you for the update with Exhibit A.
You're welcome.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
And Supervisor Oakley?
Aye.
Thank you.
Item D, Sheriff, number 4. Discussion, direction, and possible action regarding request to ratify out-of-state travel for Sheriff Jeremiah LaRue, Public Information Specialist, Safe Milestone, and in the amount of $1,789.19 for Washington, D.C. travel.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Yeah.
Second.
I've got a question, further discussion. So why are we seeing this? Isn't this within your department's budget?
Supervisor Kopsa, I would agree with you. All I know is that due to it being an out-of-state travel and something came up, some procedural issue, I find myself in front of you to discuss it. I can't say
through
that it was a
chair,
last minute.
I can help you out there. Through the chair, Angela Davis, County Administrator. For out-of-state travel requires in our policies to have approval. And from our Office of County Administration Office, my approval, my sign off on out-of-state travels. This travel request did not go through that process. So once the expenditures were submitted for reimbursement, for payment of the CalCard, that's when it came to light that that approval process was missing. So in our policy, it states that it must come back to the board for approval. So it is in front of you today.
Don't we do that at the beginning of every year? For us.
That's just for us. Correct.
Thank you.
And if it helps, I can add that the sheriff was invited last minute by the President of the United States to attend an event at the White House on the 3rd. The event was on the 7th. And the sheriff took the opportunity, due to the fact that there were many members of lawmakers and legislative committee members for the House and the Senate to set up private meetings for things that directly affect Siskiyou County, as it applies to the harmful illegal pesticides, the trafficking of illegal narcotics, as well as potential human trafficking in our county, and trying to get people's ears from legislators and lawmakers in Washington directly. So he took advantage of that time.
And I noticed that the information specialist went as well. Is there information in the public setting of those meetings that was reported out, or what was the necessity of that?
So the necessity of that is our public information specialist. She was a former, I don't know exact role for a member of Congress, and she stayed in D.C. and had a lot of connections, and she set up a lot of these meetings for the sheriff so that he could have these direct meetings with them.
It'd be good to have some form of public report out of what may have taken place. I know some of it may be sensitive, but there should be some accounting of what could be reported out to the public for the trip.
Okay.
Thank you. Call for the question.
So that was Harris and Haupt, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Excuse me. Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
And Supervisor Oakley?
Aye. Okay, moving on to item E, Sheriff. Discussion and action of possible action regarding request of issue payment to the state of California in the amount of $100,000 in order to resume ownership of needed boating patrol equipment. And the second part of that is the transfer of funds of $100,000.
Courtney Greenlee, Administrative Services Manager for the Sheriff's Office. At the meeting on March 4th, the board appointed Supervisor Kopsev to support communication with state representatives on behalf of the 2012 Riverhawk and its unique situation. Action was requested of the Siskiyou County Sheriff's Office to make traction with the designated boat inspector for its reassignment evaluation. Since the last meeting, the inspector was provided the needed and requested information from our agency for such reassignment by the Department of Parks and Recreation Boating Division, and was delivered to the agency representative, stating that the 2012 Riverhawk is in immaculate condition, and it is my belief that this boat can be reassigned immediately. The Siskiyou County Sheriff's Office has not received correspondence from any state representatives following this recent contact, nor an invoice anticipated before today's meeting. The sheriff is in support of an additional extension of repayment if the board so chooses.
Would that be action from us just to do that, or direction?
It could be a vote for direction, or
So I would motion that since we are essentially in negotiations, I talked to Bruce Ross this morning to find out where we're at. I said I think we're in negotiations trying to give the big boat to Dale Millard, which would essentially save the state $100,000 or more if they had to apply for a new grant that way, and that would offset the cost repayment for the boat that we have to grant for. So I can't imagine that the state has the manpower to come and repossess the current boat, but I'm for an extension to continue this negotiation. It's not as though we're just saying no to them. We're trying to actually save the state of California some money if they can just see their way clear to allowing this boat to offset the cost and be given to Dale Moore, the Riverhawk, right?
That is our understanding as well.
Yeah. So Bruce Ross also indicated that to ask for this extension, and that if it's problematic, if they do come to repossess the boat, to please contact him immediately. So.
Would you like us to return to all future meetings until it's resolved?
Well, when's our April? Hopefully, we could be resolved by then, hopefully.
So
Go ahead.
If I could, just give me some background on how we got into this predicament?
Yeah, the 2-minute one.
I want the 2-minute one.
Yeah, to briefly summarize, we had a former, we had a former employee apply for a grant through the state for an equipment grant regarding a patrol boat back in 2021. We were awarded, and we moved forward with all applicable procedures. During a site visit where we intended to streamline our fleet, it was discovered that the River Hawk was left off of our inventory list. We believe the intent was always to allow the state to take this boat back into their inventory, but through turnover in our department, it just never was completed. So the grant had been retracted. And in that, in the event of that happening, the sheriff had approved to use discretionary funds in lieu of general fund to pay the state back so that we may own the boat.
But in the interim, Del Norte could use the River Hawk.
Yes.
Well, hopefully we can get a win-win out of this.
Well, because
I certainly don't want to get $100,000 back.
No, exactly.
But I certainly hope this was a one-off type of situation that we got into.
Yes, it went. I mean, the grant itself went through all proper channels. It just was missed by a handful of us, and we understand the complications that creates. It is a really important piece of equipment in terms of our dive team and corner work, and we would really like to keep it. But in the event that, if in the event that the state decides, you know, if it doesn't work out, we would either use our discretionary funds or the state, and we would act differently. But
okay.
So I motion to extend.
Okay.
So
you'll continue whatever you want.
Are we going to continue this specific item to a specific meeting date? There's April 1 and April 15 are the next regular meetings coming up.
Let's shoot for April 1.
Okay.
See what happens.
Sorry.
Thank you.
All righty. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Halp?
Aye.
Excuse me, Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kobsev?
Aye.
And Supervisor Okren?
Aye.
And I take it that's also the transfer that goes with it, just in case.
Okay.
Thank you.
And Courtney, if you wouldn't mind emailing the group again to ask the status if we have any update on the potential transfer.
Yeah, I did this morning at approximately 8:30,
okay.
But I haven't received anything
okay.
back.
Thank you.
And you were in there.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. See you in a few weeks. Okay, Board Supervisors request item 7A, discussion possible direction regarding Siskiyou County potentially becoming a charter county.
Good morning, Natalie Reed, County Council, and I'll just kind of start this off and then turn it over to Supervisor Harris. Just a little bit of background on the concept of charter counties. There are two types of counties in California. One is a general law county, which is what Siskiyou County is, and the other is a charter county. General law counties follow state statutes that set forth the number and duties of various county elected officials. Charter counties are counties with greater control over certain aspects of their government structure. A county charter doesn't give a county or its officials more regulatory power or give the county the same degree of broad autonomy or home rule that city charters enjoy, but it does allow you to have more control over your internal structure. A county charter is a governing document that's akin to a general plan for municipal government. So just like in the planning context, you have a general plan that's your guiding document. This type of plan defines the structure, powers, and duties of government officials in the county. So to become a charter county, the board can either pass an ordinance, or which would call for the election of a 15-member elected charter commission, or the county could just draft a proposed charter itself, which would then be presented to the electorate for approval through a majority vote. there are certain things that every county charter must provide for, things like having an elected governing body of five or more members, elected sheriff, elected DA, various provisions that if the county charter failed to address itself, then general law just comes back in and controls for those things. And this means that you could have a county charter that just addressed discrete issues. For example, you know, how to fill the vacancy of a supervisor, which right now under the government code would be filled by the governor. So the options that the board may wish to consider as part of this agenda item, you know, include just engaging in this initial discussion, but providing no further direction, or the board can identify questions about this process. And I know that other counties that consider becoming a charter county sometimes have CSAC come and give a presentation to the board because they're more conversant in this. The board member can direct staff to take necessary steps. It will be at your discretion after a presentation from Supervisor Harris. I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. I just want to say on these two items here, A and B, staff did an amazing job. They were great, very, very minimal having to, you know, prod or anything like that. They moved very quickly. So for the charter county, what I was looking for here is protections for our county. I didn't anticipate trying to get us to put together you know, some elaborate, multifaceted deal. The two original thoughts that I had, one coming out of Huntington Beach, which I learned is a charter city, so we can't do it, was a requirement for voter identification, so that's kind of out. But as Natalie discussed, currently right now, if one of our seats were to become vacant, the governor appoints that seat. At a time like this, that's not advantageous for us. That could be very harmful for us. So I feel very comfortable, you know, asking the rest of the board and then eventually the people to support moving forward with the charter county with that one particular addendum to it, which is just putting the power back in the hands of Siskiyou County and the people when it comes to vacancies. And then we could, you know, in the future, potentially modify things within the charter if we needed to.
Any other discussions? Comments?
Okay. So go ahead. Where are you going?
We're going to end it.
Oh.
Comment?
I just have a quick question. So you, Natalie, is it the possibility of going to a charter county for just one specific item? And what's the cost factor to go down that path with staff time and resources for, I mean, ultimately that would still have to go to a vote of the people even for that one item, correct?
That's correct, and I haven't looked at costs. It sounds like the CAO's office has. But yes, that process involves putting a measure, you know, on the ballot. And yes, you can address just one single item. I believe Shasta County did that a couple of years back.
Angela Davis, County Administrator. With regards to staff time, we did not conduct an analysis of staff time to put together the ordinance and the ballot measure. But for a single ballot measure to be placed on the ballot, it's approximately $175,000 to $185,000.
So I would just say this, you know, I'm not sure what the ultimate benefit would be, what the time, the cost, all that kind of things. But the fear is that the governor could appoint someone. I think that's happened once before in Siskiyou County's thing. I'm looking at the board. I don't see a dynamic change by changing one person out on this board. I mean, the path is still forward to the way we've been going. And I don't mean that negative, positive, or anything other than I don't see a switch change in this how we operate or how we function.
I'm always happy to explore something. I think I'd have to do some more fact-finding. I just don't see the ultimate benefit to spend time to get to there at this moment in time. And I would say this, if there come up as a discussion at CSAC.
Through the chair, CSAC does have a design presentation specifically on this.
Sure.
The one thing that I'm really focused on as a new supervisor is being proactive and not letting the things get to us to where then we're having to react to it. I understand what you're saying about the dynamic of the board. But what happens if, you know, two people were to become vacant? Like, we don't know what's going to happen. And so I would much prefer protect the county and do it in advance than wait for something to, you know, potentially happen and then have an issue to have to react to. And that was part of the voter identification thing too that I wanted to push. So this was going to be a little more multifaceted than this, but we don't have the authority to do it.
Sure. And I would say this just in response. This has never come up in discussion at CSAC. This is not it hasn't come up as a board presentation. Maybe we get them or someone, RCRC, to come and give a presentation what the benefits are. I have never seen a county switch it in my recent memory to do that. So, you know, to me, maybe we could be the first, I don't know. But again, to me, it's just a little too early in the process to figure, to just make a, you know, let's just do that type of thing.
So, I'm always for improving government. anyway, we can. But I don't know enough. Right now, and I have had this discussion at length with council in the past, and other than the one I will be bringing up, I'm still not understanding the clear advantage or even the how processes would change, you know, with how we function, how the county functions. That's a big education piece that I need before I jump into this one.
I agree. I think there's a lot of learning to do before we commit to anything and commit staff time and money to agree to do something like that. I think we all have a lot. It's a big learning curve for us to decide to jump into something like this. So I'm hearing everybody's comments. I think we need a lot of learning before we would commit to something like this. So maybe that's where we need to start, is agree to maybe have CSAC or RCRC come and give us a presentation and to at least...
Well, maybe not a third-party entity doesn't have to be the one who's familiar with what the differences are and what the pros and cons are.
Right.
I mean, obviously, there's got to be pros and cons on both sides.
Yeah. Somewhere to figure out a presentation to hear.
It would be helpful, too, to reach out to one of the counties that... It is a charter county and see differences or, you know, their impression.
Well, and I think there's so many different variations of a charter county because it sounds like some just do that versus, you know, there's just so many variations of it that we need to go.
And that one appointment by the governor was in my district, by the way, and it was fairly problematic for the people there.
Yeah. I think we have a lot of learning to do before we just jump in. So, maybe we leave it there for now. Are we good with that?
Good with that?
Good with that.
I like the concept. I get it. But yeah, more information would be good. But I don't want to suck the life out of us to get this. But if there is an entity that can give us a white paper, it doesn't even have to be a presentation, it's something to at least brief us on. That if we want to bring it back, that we can have a full-out presentation publicly. So,
okay, all right.
Madam Chair,
yes,
would it be okay to take a quick break?
We can.
Thank you.